This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The U.S. Supreme Court says partisan gerrymandering claims are beyond the reach of federal courts. The court was looking at two gerrymandering cases together, one from North Carolina, the other from Maryland. The decision was split along ideological lines. Supreme Court also blocked a citizenship question from the U.S. Census for now. The majority said the Commerce Department needs to come up with a better explanation and present it to a lower court before adding the question. Jeff Tiberi is WUNC's Capitol Bureau Chief and joins us now from the legislature. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hey there, Frank.
All right, let's talk about this gerrymandering decision and what it says and what it means for North Carolina.
It's pretty significant. This is a major victory for Republicans at the moment, and really for anyone that is the majority party in a statehouse, because this says that what has been allowed for the past 200 plus years, partisan gerrymandering, will continue to be allowed, at least as far as the federal courts are concerned. What the court ruled today, Chief Justice John Roberts, writing for the 5-4 majority opinion, as you mentioned, he does note that there is an issue here with partisan gerrymandering. He concedes that, and I'm going to quote here, excessive partisanship in districting leads to results that reasonably seem unjust, close quote. But at the same time, he also said that it would have taken an unprecedented expansion of judicial power to strike this down, these partisan congressional maps out of North Carolina, and issue some sort of 2- or 3-prong test, some litmus standard for what is too partisan. So he reiterated that, you know, Congress has the power to act on this, state houses have the power to act on this, but there is no justiciability. And that's an important word. It's a wonky one, of course, but that's important because by ruling that there is no justiciability here, this effectively lays to rest partisan gerrymandering challenges in the federal court for probably the better part of a decade, maybe a decade, until the composition of the high court fundamentally changes.
In the federal court, but not in state courts, right?
So that's
state
correct.
Courts. Now, what's interesting about that in the state of North Carolina is the makeup of the state Supreme Court here in the state of North Carolina. If this were to go to a state Supreme Court and it were to be decided on ideological lines, you'd get a much different answer, wouldn't you?
That is a possible different outcome. It's certainly a path that you and I are going to be talking a lot about in the coming months. So the 9-justice U.S. Supreme Court is split 5-4 R to D, or along those ideological lines, as you mentioned. The state Supreme Court, as a refresher, has 7 justices. And at this point, there are 6 Democrats and 1 Republican. And what we're going to get here in about 3 weeks is a challenge to the legislative map. So what we've been talking about, today's ruling out of Washington, is to the 13 U.S. House seats in North Carolina. But there is a court challenge that is coming along partisan lines, a partisan challenge to the 170 state legislative maps. That's going to be before a 3-judge state panel in July. And conventional wisdom is, however that 3-judge panel rules, it is going to get appealed up to the state Supreme Court. So there is more litigation to come on partisan gerrymandering. I do think a couple of things are interesting and important to note here. One is David Lewis, who is a defendant in this case. He's one of the leading House lawmakers, a Republican from Harnett County. We just heard from him within the last half hour. And he was trying to frame this, understandably, expectedly so, as a considerable victory for Republicans, but also said, you know, this isn't an issue for there to be continued litigation. On the Supreme Court has spoken, and he was trying to frame this as, and therefore the state Supreme, he didn't explicitly say it, but, you know, the writing on the wall was the state Supreme Court doesn't need to wade into this. If we're going to fix partisan gerrymandering, we need to discuss some proposals that have been laid out in this building here, the legislature. So that's one just quick note. The other quick note is also timing. And I do think that there is the time for a partisan gerrymandering challenge in state court to move forward, but we're under a tight timeline. The candidate filing for 2020 begins in just about 5 months.
No, but you have 2020, which is the next election cycle, and in 2020, you're going to get all new maps. The legislature, should it remain just as it is today, would not be the same veto-proof legislature that was allowed to enact the maps that they did. There's going to be some contention, and if the Democrats didn't like it, they could take it to a state Supreme Court.
That's correct.
That is balanced in their favor. You can't say the ruling is going to come out that way, but certainly, and the conservative U.S. Supreme Court would not be able to weigh in, and that would be the final decision. So it's interesting, and again, to think about nationally, to think about the way things have been going. If you take 2018 and the momentum continues, a few state legislatures could flip as well in the crucial 2020 redistricting year when the Supreme Court says, we're going to let you do whatever you want.
Every election, Frank, is important, and I will do my best to not be hyperbolic, but those elections that end in a zero are of perhaps a little bit more importance because, as you just noted, you get to draw the maps for the next round of redistricting. And that's why I think sometimes lost in the shuffle in the conversation about the transformation that's happened in state politics in Raleigh over these last 9 years or so has so much to do with the fact that Republicans did win in 2010 and they got to redraw those maps in 2011. And that is what, you know, by and large gave them supermajorities for 6 years. Those supermajorities have since been upended. But as it is today, Republicans still hold both chambers of the North Carolina General Assembly, and the governor, as another reminder, doesn't get to veto redistricting issues. Or he doesn't get to weigh in on maps.
Yeah, and that majority whittled away even with, as the Supreme Court recognized today, unfair, radically unfair. Now, they were talking about congressional maps. They weren't talking about the state maps.
That's correct.
But even in the with those maps, that which is are also in contention, you can see that majority whittling away. So it's kind of interesting. And remember, David Lewis, who you said spoke today, one of the defendants, and one of the, because of his comments, we know it was partisan gerrymandering. Remember, he said, I quote, "I think electing Republicans is better than electing Democrats, so I drew this map to help foster what I think is better for the country. I propose we draw the maps to give a partisan advantage to 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats, and I would have done more if I could have." And the Supreme Court said that's okay. So again, depending on who has control of these legislatures in this next cycle, you know, that could be either a boon for Democrats or perhaps for Republicans. So it's hard to know how to cheer at this particular moment, as a matter of fact.
It's a very interesting moment, and there hasn't been a significant groundswell here in North Carolina yet, by my estimation, in terms of pushing a bill forward or putting a constitutional amendment proposal, a ballot question before the voters, creating some kind of independent redistricting commission. We've seen it in other states, and it's going to be interesting to see how much the Democratic Party makes this perhaps, and I'm speculating here to be candid, but perhaps the Democrats make this a little bit more a piece of their platform, state legislative Democrats. I mean, is that going to turn people out to the polls? We've heard this before, right? I mean, it's important to note, David Lewis was a supporter of independent redistricting. So was Phil Berger. That's when they were in the minority party. And it becomes awfully hard when you become into the majority party to sacrifice and hand over one of the most important things that you get to do as a legislator, which we should note, partisan gerrymandering has been legal for more than 200 years.
Right. And so we will stay tuned. This is fascinating in terms of the political dynamics, particularly in these times where the currents are sort of at odds with each other, flowing in all kinds of directions. Another key ruling today, Supreme Court blocked a citizenship question from the 2020 census, but didn't say it can't be on there. It just said your particular question and rationale means that you can't put this question on the 2020 census for now. Tell us about that ruling.
Yeah, this is not to steal something from social media, perhaps the funniest meme I've seen within the last hour and a half was an awkward emoji of Rob Gronkowski, the former New England Patriot, trying to punt a football. And the caption was something along the lines of, well, that was an awkward kick. This is a punt, but it's unclear whether or not there's enough time for there to be a reformulation of the citizenship question, or perhaps a reformulating of the explanation in order to send this thing forward. Ostensibly, what the court said today was that the explanation given for this question was contrived and that the story did not jive up with the evidence. So this is not going to move forward as was, but it's gone back to the Federal Commerce Department. And it's unclear what the next steps for this are, but the door is not, we don't believe, per some of the legal scholars, we don't believe it is fully closed yet.
Well, let's take half a step back and talk about the question in question and why it is so divisive and there is a challenge to placing a question about citizenship on the census.
You know, and one of the things, and to tie it in, interestingly enough, perhaps, with North Carolina gerrymanders and North Carolina map drawing, Tom Hoffler was a map drawer for North Carolina lawmakers over the last few years. He has since passed away. But he is somebody, in what we've learned in documents that were uncovered after his death, this is something that he deemed to be a winning strategy for Republicans. This citizenship test was going to help Republican blocs. It was going to help Republican efforts and also, to some extent, diminish non-white voters. And of course, there are a whole other series of ramifications as it pertains to federal dollars and representation in Congress. And we've heard a lot about this issue, of course, in the last several months.
Yeah. And to be clear again, the court said, yeah, that question, as far as we are concerned, there's nothing illegal about a question like that. But your legal rationale, Commerce Department, doesn't pass muster. Why don't you take a look at it again and take it back to a lower court and try again? So that's where we are. And of course, the ultimate question is there time to go through all of that and then get that question on for the 2020 census?
Right.
And that's what we're waiting to see.
And in North Carolina, 325,000 approximately undocumented folks here in this state. It's the, I believe it's the eighth most in the United States. So it would have significant implications in North Carolina, much more so than a number of other states.
Jeff DeBerry is WUNC's Capitol Bureau Chief. Thanks, Jeff.
Always a treat, Frank.
Just ahead, the injustice of the Central Park Five. It's nothing new. We talked about it then when it happened. It has been talked about many times since, and yet Ava DuVernay's Netflix miniseries on the topic has garnered unprecedented global attention. We'll talk about that and more on Back Channel. On the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.